This is Central Time. We've been talking for some time now about whether people might need an additional dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, a booster. In a new development this week, the Food and Drug Administration gave an emergency authorization for certain people who received the Pfizer vaccine to get that third dose. We're going to go into some of the specifics as well as what it means for the overall vaccination effort. You can join the conversation with your questions about booster shots at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Jonathan Tempty is Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Tempty served on the U.S. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and as acting chair of its evidence-based recommendation work group. He's also served on the CDC's Board of Scientific Counselors. Dr. Tempty, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. It's a pleasure to join you today.
Let's start in with the super basics. According to the FDA and then recommendations from the CDC, who is eligible to get that third dose if they took the Pfizer vaccine?
Well, there are five separate groups right now who have been recommended to receive a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine. And this is particularly for the people who have already been fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. So first is anybody age 65 and older. Second, long-term care facility residents. So people in nursing homes and other long-term care sites. Third, people who are age 50 to 64 with underlying medical risk conditions, and there's a whole long list of those. And then two additional groups that may receive, so it's not as strong of a recommendation, but it does permit these people to receive vaccine. And those are individuals age 18 through 49 who have those underlying risk conditions. And then the last group is the potentially fairly large, it's those 18 through 64 years who have workplace exposure or exposure through institutions where they reside or work.
I want to split that up now and take out that last group you mentioned. Everybody else are people who might have more vulnerability to COVID-19. What is the thinking with the Pfizer vaccine in particular for those people at somewhat elevated risk or much more elevated risk for why they might benefit from a third shot?
Well, as so much with this COVID-19 pandemic, there are just so many moving parts. And with the Pfizer vaccine, this was the first kid on the block. It came out in December of 2020. And a lot of people got immunized fairly early on with this vaccine. And with a passage of time, we're finding that there may be some reduction in the benefit of the vaccine simply because our immune system has a tendency to be less effective with a passage of time. But on top of that, we have now had two different major variants come through the United States, the Alpha variant and now the Delta variant. And especially the Delta variant seems to have a little bit less response to the vaccine than the other ones. So you put all this together and we see that people are having more breakthrough cases now as we're getting several months out from that initial immunization.
When it comes to more serious consequences of COVID with the Delta variant, is that Pfizer vaccine still working pretty well?
It's working incredibly well. So the bottom line is people who received the full complement of vaccine, whether it be the Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson, have protection from the most severe outcomes. And those are hospitalization, intensive care unit, admission, use of ventilators, or death. And in all those cases, the risk is greatly reduced. Unfortunately, we are seeing some breakthrough cases of people who are fully vaccinated. And I can't say that's unexpected,
right?
But we would like to try and curtail that as much as possible.
From a public health standpoint, which would you say is a bigger priority? Getting that third shot for the categories who just got this decision, or getting any shots for people who are unvaccinated completely?
Well, I think it's hands down and complete agreement across the public health community that the first priority would be to try and get everybody vaccinated and really pushing forward into people who have not been able to have access or have been able to get the vaccines, and to try and, you know, provide sufficient information to overcome the hesitancy and resistance that we see out there.
We're talking about COVID-19 vaccine booster shots with Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. I think there's probably a lot of people with questions along the lines of, should I get that shot? Or should a loved one of mine get that third shot? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at the FDA's emergency authorization this week of a Pfizer vaccine booster for specific people, populations around the United States. Dr. Jonathan Tempty stays with us, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also served on the CDC's Board of Scientific Counselors. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Tempty, we set aside one group under this recommendation, people who are under 50, who don't have complicating medical conditions, but who work in facilities around lots of people, teachers, maybe prison workers, the list goes on. And this is not a slam dunk, it sounds like, in the recommendations. Can you talk through that?
Well, you know, this is something that was added on to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommendation made yesterday by the CDC director this morning. And that is within her purview. The ACIP is advisory, and they're asked to make comment on recommendations, and those go to the director of CDC for further vetting and the final recommendation that comes out. But I think the important thing here is that there are many people out there who are at higher risk for exposure to cases. So teachers, for example, grocery store workers are at high risk. There are other people who are around individuals who are at high risk. So healthcare providers, people who are working in long-term care. And so the recommendation is added in that these individuals may consider receiving vaccine. It's not a recommendation where we say they should, but they can look at their own circumstances and determine whether or not they would feel more comfortable having that additional dose. And this is, you know, takes us back to December and January when we were debating who should be first in line to get vaccine. And if you take a look at the groups we have now for booster, it really maps very, very closely to our discussions from 6 and 8 months ago.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Arcadia. John, hello.
Hi. I've got a question about where do I go to get this third shot? When can I get it? I live in Arcadia, but I can go to Winona. Nobody's informed me about it, but I saw in a magazine that there was the Pfizer shots that I got, the vaccination, and the two shots 6 weeks apart. There's only, with the variant now, it's only 44% effective. So, and I've got asthma, an underlying condition, and I work and I get exposed to people over here at Ashley, and you know, there's a lot of people working there and they're moving around. I don't know who they're exposed to. I live alone. So I know I can't expose myself to it at home, but sure, when I'm at work, and I just need to know where I can get it and when I can get it.
John, thanks a lot for that call. John has great questions. Dr. Tempty, let's talk about that practical side of things. John is in that eligible category by his age, maybe by that health risk of asthma and exposure in the public. How are people supposed to go out and find out where and when they can get this shot?
Well, first of all, this is a brand new recommendation, and it is just being now translated by health systems and pharmacies and others out there. And so I'm not expecting anything to be happening this weekend, but I think the guidance will be available. And a good first stop is with your usual physician, physician assistant, nurse practitioner, the person you see to get your care. And they can help inform you as to the best place to go. It's also very important to check your records, assure that it was the Pfizer vaccine you received, and that it's been at least 6 months since you received that second dose.
Thanks for that call, John. John also brought up effectiveness concerns about Pfizer. I hadn't seen that exact number, but I assume that number meant against any infection at all, not against more severe infections. What are you seeing about the effectiveness of the two shots Pfizer right now?
Well, yeah, the 44% sounds very low to me. But the bottom line is we find that the more significant the outcome, the better the effectiveness is. So if we're looking at something like death or intensive care unit admission, the vaccines are very, very effective, you know, in the range of about 90 to 95%. If we're looking all the way down to whether or not we can detect virus in somebody, so technically an infection, but it might not even be symptomatic, then we get into lower numbers. And what I've seen is more in the range of about 65% effective, still very, very good. But I think the bottom line is we have two things that we really have to focus on. The first thing is trying to prevent those really bad outcomes. And the second is trying to reduce the transmission. And for that second one, it's so very, very important to get as many people out there vaccinated as possible. And the good news is coming in October, we are hoping that we'll see the recommendations coming out and the vaccines coming out for use in younger children.
Thanks a lot for the call, John. Time for one more caller. Cindy is with us in De Pere. Cindy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I heard earlier on the news today that there was a stipulation put in there that if you that you had to have your first two shots before the end of March. So does that mean if I, say I got my shots in April, I'm still not able to get the booster because it's too close?
Cindy, thanks for the call. Is that a 6 month deadline, Dr. Tempty?
Yeah, so it's going to be a rolling deadline. So we look back from today 6 months ago and go, you know, did you have that last dose before that? And so that will be a shifting framework as we move along. But we find that the protection is actually very, very good over the first several months. And one has to draw a line in the sand, and that particular line is at 6 months.
So if Cindy's otherwise eligible and got her first shots in April, she'd be eligible in October, presumably?
Exactly.
Great. Thanks for that call, Cindy. And Dr. Tempty, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. That's Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We talked to him today about the FDA's announcement of an emergency authorization for COVID-19 booster shots this week for people who had the Pfizer vaccine and whether there might be more authorizations to come. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's the first weekend of fall, and Wisconsin is ready to celebrate. The trees have been starting to turn color in the northern half of the state. Still have a couple weeks left until they're at their peak. The state has a lot of great apple orchards, pumpkin patches, corn mazes, and other agritourism. Plus, there are some incredibly scenic roads you can take to get to those places. Throw in some bike paths and hiking trails, too, and fun train rides. And cool towns and cities in every corner of the state. We want to hear from you. What do you love about fall in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234? Do you have a favorite spot to check out fall colors, a favorite drive or back road that looks spectacular this time of year? What's your favorite fall activity in the state? Or do you need a suggestion in a certain part of Wisconsin? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Weibel is a communications officer with Travel Wisconsin. Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm sure you've got a lot of items on your list working for the tourism department. What do you look forward to most, Amanda, this time of year?
I love fall. It is such a magical season in Wisconsin. And as you alluded to, there are so many great things to do, from fall hikes to apple picking and pumpkin picking. One thing that I always love is where can you go spot that great fall color? Mm. And Travel Wisconsin has a wonderful resource, our fall color report, to help people find where color is about to peak throughout the state.
And I just heard in the news, colors are lagging a little, but we're starting to see some color in parts of the state, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we actually have 100 different reporters representing all 72 counties in Wisconsin who are keeping an eye out and keeping us updated. So you're exactly right. We're starting to see, especially in northern Wisconsin, colors are getting a little further along. But if you go to that fall color report, it's an interactive map. So you can actually click into different areas to see a real-time update and an estimate for when it will experience peak fall color. And then you can also get a three-day weather forecast and ideas for nearby dining and lodging or other things to do to help plan a great trip and make some memories.
I love that it's not just what do they look like right now, but your best estimate at the peak colors. So people can use this as kind of a planning tool for the next few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And we know things can really vary from one area to another. So that's why we're so grateful for all of our volunteer reporters who are keeping an eye out and keeping that report updated to make it easier for all of us to go plan those activities.
Are you looking for more volunteers? Can people sign up?
If you're interested in signing up, you can certainly reach out to Travel Wisconsin. We are always looking to make sure we've got the most comprehensive reports.
Well, that's the leaves. We've got some nationally recognized scenic roadways worth a drive most of the year, but especially fall. And I gather there are a couple of new designations as well. Can you share our scenic roadway scene in the state?
There are a couple of new designations. Yeah, really exciting to hear that the Lake Superior Scenic Byway and Door County Coastal Byway were recently designated as National Scenic Byways. And Wisconsin's Great River Road was designated an All-American Road. And this is really, it's a testament not just to the incredible scenic beauty that you'll experience on these drives, but the great experiences for you to stop and stretch your legs, to go to a great local restaurant or shop or enjoy some outdoor recreation. So incredible to see that recognition, because we know there are just such great, there's so much natural beauty, but great communities for people to stop at and explore while they're enjoying a great scenic drive.
So we could see, go out for that drive, see the changing fall colors. I understand we've got a couple rail trips that can get us out into the fall colors as well.
We do, yeah. What a fun way to kind of change things up and experience fall color in a different way, to get aboard a train. A couple of examples to check out. We've got the Mid-Continent Railway Autumn Color Train, or the Osceola and St. Croix Valley Railway in Osceola. So check it out. It's a really fun way to go do something new and see some great fall color.
We are getting some advice for fall fun in Wisconsin with Amanda Weibel, Communications Officer with Travel Wisconsin. You can join in if you call in now at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite fall activity? Do you want to put in a plug for something in your neck of the woods? Or do you need a recommendation from our guest? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we leave leaves behind, Amanda, I like when you can get up high and look down on the leaves. Kind of, I've done it at Tim's Hill on the observation tower in the fall. It's a great way to see the fall colors. Any other chances to get some altitude on it?
Yeah, I love the way you're thinking. Get that different perspective. Zip lining is another really cool way to experience fall color. So Northwood Zip Line in Minocqua is a great one to check out. Another idea, the Granite Peak Ski Resort. Actually, you can take the ski lift up and you'll get a ride up and can enjoy the fall color from the ski lift and then do some hiking once you get to the top.
Let's move on now to our farmland in Wisconsin. Lots of opportunities to get fed and check out some scenery, too. How about our apple orchards and pumpkin patches? That's got to be hitting peak season right about now.
Yeah, great time to check out your local apple orchard. And, of course, go pick that perfect pumpkin. So many different opportunities throughout the state. Wisconsin orchards actually grow over 300 different varieties of apples. So when you're at the orchard, you know, pay attention to some of the different kinds. And I've been told to make the perfect pie. You don't just need one variety of apple. You need a couple different ones. So something that's a little more tart and something that's a little sweeter, and they have different textures too. So always fun to go and kind of learn what that orchard has available.
I understand there's some special places around the state where you want people to take selfies and then share them on social media. Can you tell us about that?
Travel Wisconsin actually a couple of years ago started putting out selfie stands in some of the most scenic areas in Wisconsin. So it's a great opportunity, a place for you to set down your cell phone, put your timer on, and grab a picture so that you can remember your experiences while you're out and about. There are 51 different selfie stands. They're at different state parks, trails, and recreation areas throughout the state. So another great way to kind of get an idea of where you want to go if you're not sure what to do, but want to check out some of those most scenic areas, you can find where they're all located on travelwisconsin.com.
What other kind of resources do you have for people to find things? We mentioned the fall color map and those selfie stands. What else is out there to help us plan our fall travel?
Well, we hope that travelwisconsin.com can really be a one-stop shop to give you all kinds of ideas and inspiration and help link you to different businesses or organizations throughout the state. Definitely check out the Fall Color Report, travelwisconsin.com/fallcolorreport. We also have a hiking and biking trail report, so you can check the conditions for different trail networks throughout the state. So especially as we get in these shoulder seasons, when you might wonder, is the trail muddy? Is it open? We've got a set of reporters who are also reporting on hiking and biking trail conditions. So lots of great resources, definitely lots to explore.
I know last year with the pandemic, there were a lot of reports of people really getting out in Wisconsin state parks and other outdoor resources during the pandemic. Is that still going on in 2021?
You know, one of the great things about Wisconsin is we have so many opportunities that naturally lend themselves to social distancing. So great opportunities to hike, bike, get outside. Businesses are doing great things to keep people safe and give people opportunities to experience the seasons and make memories.
As we wrap up, Amanda, leave us with some encouragement to get out and enjoy and appreciate some of these things over the next month or two.
Absolutely. Fall is such a wonderful, magical time in Wisconsin. Take advantage of these cool days, the crisp air, the beautiful fall colors. Enjoy some of our agritourism and outdoor recreation.
Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Amanda Weibel is a communications officer with Travel Wisconsin. We talked to her today about some of the many great places to visit and things to do around the state this fall. If you're into leaves, we've got a link to Travel Wisconsin's fall color map. It's up at wpr.org/centraltime. And if you have a favorite fall thing to do in your community, let us know about it. Tweet us at centraltimewpr or email ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear your fall favorites.